Jesus has such a good sense of humor. Did you catch the holy setup in the gospel? Jesus told his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And you know, I feel like the disciples were like, "Yes, more workers, more help. Yes, let's pray for that. This would be great." And then seemingly immediately, the text says, and in the story even following this one expands more, that Jesus sent his disciples out to do the work of casting out unclean spirits and curing disease and sickness. And I have to wonder if the disciples were like, "Yeah, yeah, yeah," and then their mood totally changed and like reality dawned on them and they're like, "Wait, what just happened? I'm sorry, what, Jesus? Jesus asked us to pray and then, surprise, told us we were the answer to the prayer." Jesus commissioned them, he empowered them, and he sent them on to expand on the work that he himself had been doing. And so in one short move, Jesus created a team to have a further reach for his mission, and he taught his friends that prayer is not about creating a to-do list for God, and I love a good to-do list, but prayer is actually about getting clear about the needs in the world in order to discern our place on that mission team. All at once. That was a really big teaching moment. And I love and appreciate the delivery of Jesus. And we can chuckle at his humorous leadership style, and we can realize that those poor disciples never saw it coming, but in about 15 minutes, we're going to pray what we call the prayers of the people, the prayers of the church, and we're going to ask God for help in various ways around the globe, and I wonder if at that moment we will also realize the joke is on us too. Because every week, those prayers are meant to become our mission statements as we pray for help that we are sent out to be. It makes me think of the line from poet and activist June Jordan that says, "We are the ones we've been waiting for." Those poor disciples, they were sent to do what again? The text says, to cast out demons and cure the sick. Okay, they were sent, we are sent with the same calling. That sounds simple enough, right? I mean, who among us has not done this like at the neighborhood potluck or like in PE class or like the conference room at work, like just a little casting out of demons, a little healing of the sick, like no problem, Jesus. Totally on board with this. If that is our call, what does it look like in our everyday lives? What does it mean for us in this year of the Lord to cast out demons and cure disease? I feel like our nurse friend in the back is laughing at me right now. She's like, "I know." Well, it's not necessarily about physical health. And I'm pretty sure it's not about actual demons. That is how people in the world at that time understood things. But if we look more closely at the times that Jesus did that work in the stories, it almost always involved the same things. So it began, these healing, curing, casting out stories began with really seeing people, drawing close to them to honor their personhood, and loving them as is. And then the healing or the casting out would happen, and it would move toward repairing relationships, nurturing belonging, bringing people into healthy community. Now, this is work we are capable of without having to be exorcists or medical professionals, yes? In all our various mission fields, we are sent to cast out the demons of loneliness and isolation and division. We are sent to cure the disease of polarization, hatred, greed, and vengeance. We are sent as repairers of community and spreaders of hope. That sounds a lot more manageable to me, for the most part. But it still begs the question of where and how. I mean, the needs in this world are overwhelming. And I'm not Jesus. Nope, not Jesus. I assume neither of you are either. You've not revealed yourself to me if you are. We might be the ones we've been waiting for, but it can't just be on us. And none of us can do it all, and we can't do it alone. None of us are asked to fix the world or to save anybody or pretend that we can replace God. We are not the complete answer to everything, but we can be part of the answer to something. So where do we begin? How do we know what answer we might be? Well, consider how Jesus approached the world in this text. It says when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He saw people being harmed and he had compassion. It's what pulled and propelled him into action. For Jesus, and so for us, it always begins with compassion. Where does your compassion run most deeply? What is the pain point that you come back to again and again and again, not out of guilt and obligation, but because it feels the most natural and life-giving when you tend to it? My heart aches for so many things happening in this world today. I hurt for whole communities of people who are in pain, parts of the earth itself crying out in struggle. I hurt for them, and I cannot help all of them. And neither can you. And so when I think about stepping toward a certain area where that pain is, where that need is, I've noticed in my soul that one of two things happens. So as I am desperate for that particular area to be tended to, it can go one of two ways for me. One, I either step toward it and feel an immediate drain in energy, pushing past the false belief that I'm just like being lazy because I'm not working here or that I'm ignoring someone's pain. I hear my soul ask me not to move forward. It begs me, please let someone else dive into this, anybody else. And if I ignore and hijack that instinct and keep going and try to work toward that particular cause, it feels like I'm trudging through mud and everything feels hard. I know this feeling well. Do you know what I'm talking about? Okay, the other thing that can happen as I move toward the cause or the thing or the area of justice or the community or the pain point is that I feel an immediate magnet attraction. It seems scary, maybe. It might be uncertain, but my energy builds. There's like this nervous excitement. And my soul asks me to push other things aside to make room for this thing, even if it's hard work. And when I do, I feel connected to life and purpose and my truest self. Do you know that feeling? That's how I know which part of the mission team I'm called to. That's how I know the thing for me. Which part are you called to? I want to encourage you to take some time this week to slow down and pay attention. As you watch the news or you move around your community, you get bombarded with flyers and emails and invitations because there's always something to join the cause, to move toward a thing, a pain point. Pay attention to how it feels in your body. Pay attention to what you notice. What's the thing that you come back to again and again and again with your energy and your compassion? Because that, my friends, is where you are being sent as part of the answer. And then you have permission to let some of the other stuff go. But even once we have that clarity about our particular call, and even if it's life-giving to connect with it, obviously we aren't going to just like nail it every single time, right? We are not Jesus. We are not required to be Jesus, and this world is hard, and sometimes it is too much. It's too much. So what happens when we burn out or fall short of our best or do it for the wrong reasons, or ignore the call altogether. What happens? What happens is we are in great company. Let's revisit the end of today's Exodus reading. It said, "So Moses went, summoned the elders of the people, set before them all these words that the Lord had commanded him, and the people all answered as one." So people, let's all answer as one. "Everything that the Lord has spoken, we will do." I love that holy humor again. Have you read the rest of the Old Testament? I mean, if you make it like a paragraph after this story, you find that the community failed to keep this promise almost immediately, and then like a million times after that. And it's not just the Hebrew people. We've all done this. We all do this. I've probably done it 15 times this weekend alone. This is where grace comes in. Also, if you read the Old Testament, you'll find that God never, ever rescinded the covenant with the Hebrew people. No matter what they did or didn't do, God continued to be their God, to lead them, to have compassion for them. And so it is with us. We can try and try and try and fall short, and God will be there with love when we mess it up, and then we can try again because we are in the process of being sent for the rest of our lives. So there's always another chance to follow our compassion, to follow our call. And just because we are sent doesn't mean that we are expendable along the way, or that we aren't ourselves in need of ministering and compassion. Jesus didn't wipe his hands of the disciples after they were sent and go, "Whew, we're done, we did it. No more care needed here." No, he kept going with them. They too were wrapped up in the harm and the harassment of the world, and Jesus didn't stop teaching or nurturing or supporting them. He continued to be their leader even as they were leading. He shepherded them even as they were shepherding. He healed them even as they were healing. Jesus loves us into our leadership and goes with us to empower, support, and sustain us, oftentimes through those around us who are showing us God's love and grace. So let this be a gentle reminder to you and to me that we are also sent to take care of ourselves and to let others care for us too. So as we move toward prayer, let's do so with hearts open and ready for a bit of humor, remembering that Jesus still meets us in that same surprising way. Let us boldly name the needs of the world and then boldly listen for where our compassion stirs, where our energy rises, where God might be sending us. We are not sent alone. We are not sent to be salvation, to do it all. We are sent loved. We are sent sustained. We are sent together. And maybe that's the gentle humor of it all, that the God we are praying to is already moving in us, through us, alongside us, ahead of us, making us part of the answer, one small, faithful step at a time. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? God, open our eyes to the needs around us and our hearts to where your compassion is already moving within us. Give us courage to say yes to the part that you have given us, and give us grace to trust that it is enough. Walk with us as we go, sustaining us with your love and guiding us in your peace. Amen.